John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' I didn't recognize him as the Messiah, but I've been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed in Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." And by the way, when we use that word baptize, what we've seen happen this morning is baptism. It's just the word immersion, but our English translators have not been brave enough to translate the real word, which is immerse, which is plunge. Because it only makes sense that Jesus would plunge us into the Holy Spirit if we say we plunge into water. Because there's something about what God does in Jesus Christ, what he's done through the cross and the resurrection, that has plunged us into himself. What's the point of water like this? I asked it to be left open so I could have a nice visual aid. Why water? Well, many religions, many faiths in the world use water as a sign of one thing or another, most for cleansing. So our Muslim friends down the road, when they go into mosque, they will wash their hands and their feet and their noses and every bit of them, their ears, as a sign of washing. Our Hindu friends, one of their great desires is to go to the Ganges and to bathe in the Ganges to wash away all the past. And our Jewish friends, from whom we actually derive this that we're doing this morning, and that's why you see here something that looks like this, a baptistry, but with a Star of David over it. Because every synagogue, the synagogue just up the road, around the corner in Salisbury Road, has one of these. It's called a mikveh, and it means a gathering, a pool of water. The word mikveh actually appears in the first chapter of Genesis, right at the beginning of the story about God gathering the waters of the seas together. So there's been a mikveh in the scripture right from the beginning. But this is where Jewish people go to wash. But there's one big difference between this water and that water. I'm pointing there because I can see it. And that water. That is that according to the law of Moses, every time you get unclean, you have to go and have a wash. Every time you sin, and there are lots of different reasons, I'm not going to go into this morning because I don't have time. Every time you sin, every time you do something wrong under the law of Moses, you have to go to the mikveh and get bathed. So, when John the Baptist comes along, oh, and by the way, just one other thing to say. Did you know there was a baptism in the Old Testament? There is a baptism in the Old Testament. Next slide, I think. This is the story of Naaman, the Syrian. Naaman was not a Jew, but he was a leper. He had a terrible skin disease. And when he came to the prophet of God in Israel, the prophet said, "Go and immerse yourself in the Jordan." And when eventually he was obedient to God and he immersed himself in the Jordan, he was completely healed. And it says in the, follow me here, it gets complicated. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, which was the translation from the original Hebrew, in the Greek version, it says that what Naaman did was he was evaptizando, he was baptized in the River Jordan. Therefore, when John comes along, 1,000 or so years later, or 700 years or so later, and he starts baptizing people in the River Jordan, they know what's going on. They understand the context. This is because they know that God can cleanse. Something key about the baptism of John, what John is saying is, you don't need the mikveh anymore. God is going to cleanse you once and for all. God is going to wash your sins away. So people flock to John because, hey, I don't have to go to the mikveh anymore. I don't have to go and get myself washed every time I have an uncleanness, every time something goes wrong. However, there's one other thing, and this is the reason John was baptizing, and the passage I've just read is so key. Because John is saying, my baptism is only part of the story. The immersion I'm doing is pointing somewhere else. And one day, as Jesus comes through the crowd, he says, he's the one it's all about. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one, the sacrificial lamb. And Jews knew all about sacrificial lambs because they sacrificed them almost every day. And particularly at Passover, when they slew the lamb that reminded them of God's deliverance coming out of Egypt. And he says, this is the Lamb of God. This is what this is about. He is going to take the sin away. It's not the water that takes the sin away. It's not the washing that will remove the sin. It's him. And on that Passover day, on that day when Jesus had celebrated Passover with his disciples, and he said, I am what this meal is about. When he gave them the matzot, the bread, the unleavened bread, and he said, this is my body given for you. And he gave them the cup of redemption that had stood on the Passover table for centuries. And he said, this is my blood. And then the next day, he's horribly, torturously crucified. But he says, some of his last words are, I've done it. I've done it. And he gave up the ghost, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Because he knew that at that moment, he had decisively dealt with sin and failure and guilt and brokenness and addiction and all our weakness. He had overcome it and he'd broken its power. And then on Easter Sunday, but the thing is, of course, if he'd stayed in the grave, we wouldn't have known that. The only way that he could justify us, the only way he could say, you've been set free, is by himself walking out of that tomb. And walking out of that grave. And that's what he did on that Easter Sunday morning. It's outrageous. It's absolutely, to the logical mind, there are those of you who are sitting here this morning, you're saying, I could never believe this. I can't believe a man rose from the dead. It's scientifically untenable. It's logically unreasonable. It's completely outrageous. But that's what we believe. That's who Jesus is, and we know it by the presence and the power of his Spirit to change our lives day after day, moment by moment, and he's still doing it because he's here by his Spirit. Because that's the other thing that John said. John said it's not just about getting wet and about having your sins forgiven. It's about being immersed into the very nature of God himself. And living as though you're swimming in the river of God for all of your life. That's the invitation. That's what we're invited to. Not just getting our sins forgiven. Not just getting clean and having a wash. What Jesus offers is breaking bondage. Breaking even the power of death. What an offer that is. We've never actually lost anyone in this baptistry. I was holding my breath several times this morning as the kids were crawling around and even jumping over it at one point. We go, no, please don't let health and safety come now, God. Please don't let... And you know, the Father didn't lose his Son. The Scripture says, you would not allow your chosen one to see corruption. And God has rescued him from death, and he rescues us from death. The washing is finished. The mikveh is over. Isn't it good news, John? You haven't got to go through this every Sunday. Well, you might like to, but you can't. It's a one-off because what you're identifying with, what you're doing, is you're going with Jesus into that tomb and you're coming out again with him. And he is on your lives. Those of you who are baptized, as he is on many of us, he is on your lives. And he is going to walk in you and walk with you as he walks with those of us who are following him. But so many of us as human beings, we see it this week in the terrible things that we've witnessed happening in Brussels, in other places. The cycles of brokenness, the cycles of, we've got to use the word, of sin, of evil that is racking our world. Man cannot on his own break out of the traps. He needs a rescuer. That's why Jesus has come. That's why Jesus is called Jesus, Yeshua. He will rescue you from the traps and the cycles of sin and violence. He will rescue you from the addictions. A lot of us maybe pass by some of the folks on the street and we think, oh, he's on something. He's just collecting because he's... But actually, there are many addictions in our hearts who are not sitting on the street. People who are gripped by addictions to self-harm, to pornography, to food. There's all sorts of things that hold us, that Jesus wants to free us from. And only Jesus can free us from. Only Jesus can free me from my addictive behavior. You don't think I have any addictive behavior? Ask my wife. She's not here at the moment. That's good.
Oh, yes, she is.
Oh, is she? Where are you? Somewhere else. I thought you hadn't. Oh, yes, there you are. Sorry, I missed you. Oh, dear. Say no. But he can. Someone say amen if you agree. How many people have been set free by Jesus? Amen. I'm glad I'm in the right place. I want to ask you today, simply this. Are you going to stay in your cycle of trapped behavior? Are you going to stay in a place of trying to fix it yourself? Of continually trying to wash it clean? Of continually trying to go back to the behaviors and sort them out? Of going to the support groups, of going to the help group. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, by the way, but you need more than that. They're not enough. Man is telling himself, I can fix this. Jesus is saying, you need me. That's what this is about. And this morning, God is inviting you. If you're here this morning, and I just sense, as I've been, I really prayed I would have time to deliver this morning, because there was something really on my heart that I knew there were going to be people here this morning and you need to break out of the trappedness of the cycle that you're in. You need to stop going to try and fix it all the time with the washings and the washings and the trying to sort it. And you actually just need to say to Jesus, I'm going to anchor myself in you. I don't understand it all, Jesus. I'm not sure I even believe it all. But this outrageous hope, this outrageous promise is one I want to take hold of, like these folks here this morning have taken hold of, and I want to anchor myself into you.